where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me.
Whoa!
That was the Ballad of Buster Scruggs with Cool Clear Water, and you're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. My name is Ron Topi, and this is your monthly North State Water Report. The North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., Tuesday through Thursday, and from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumplingchico.com. Drunken Dumpling, where they love food, flavor, and our community. So this week, or this month, tonight, I'm going to talk about Run for Salmon, which I know you've heard quite a bit about. Last month, we had our show kind of centered on Run for Salmon, and I was actually on the journey at the start of it. The night of the last episode of North State Water Report was the actual opening night of the ceremony started, the prayer run started. And that was 3.5 weeks ago. Run for Salmon is a 3.5 week indigenous women-led prayer journey from the mountains all the way to the ocean, a journey that I've had the honor to be part of for the last 7 years. We ended this year's journey this past Sunday, July 31st, at Mir Beach. I'm going to play a couple audio sound bites that I have that are kind of typical sounds that you'll hear during Run for Salmon throughout the journey. And those were some of the sounds of Run for Salmon, the first song you heard was a song that paddlers would be sung as paddlers would approach their arrival at the end of a day, and it's a song that lets others know that they come in peace. The other song was a Winnemem prayer for water, and the other was a Pomo song. And every morning as the camp was still sleeping, as the sun was rising, Gary Thomas, affectionately known as Uncle Gary by most everyone that is on the Run for Salmon every year, prays every morning with songs like that and wakes up the camp at sunrise. In 2015, I was asked by the Winnemem Wintu to help with a little bike ride they wanted to do through Chico as part of a larger prayer journey from the ocean to the mountains following the journey salmon takes. They called it Run for Salmon. At the time, none of us knew where this journey would lead, except Chief Colleen Sisk had an idea, a vision. 7 years later, the journey continues. On July 8th, we started at a spring at Bulyanpuyuk, also known as Mount Shasta, and traveled by foot, by water, by bicycle, by horseback, and guided by prayer all the way out to the ocean. Words cannot describe the personal experience I've had over these past 7 years, the deepening bonds, the self-discovery, the education and awareness. Run for Salmon is a big reason I started this radio program. Run for Salmon, Chief Colleen Sisk, and the Winnemem people's commitment to the salmon, our waters, indigenous lifeways, and people has inspired many, changed many lives, opened many hearts. I'm going to play now a recording of Nidia Alicia, one of Run for Salmon's main organizers. She was speaking this year at a place called Adena, which is a traditional fishing village of the Winnemem Wintu on the Upper McLeod River. And the site-eyed salmon eggs were introduced this year. So let me pull this up.
It is the right thing to do, you know. Went out, told their friends, and then the next year, a couple more people came. And the next year, you know, they're like, oh, that's good. That's what we need to be doing, you know, not just our indigenous relatives, but all of us who live here. You know, these waters, you know, I have a relative who's here with me, you know. I was like, you know, if you eat food that's grown in California with water from here, you have a responsibility to this watershed. You know, it's the largest water asset in the fourth largest economy in the world, and this food goes all over the world. So it's like a tiny but mighty tribe that has been, you know, this is what Creator's saying, this is what Examiner's saying. And so, you know, my prayer is that just how we started this prayer with just a few of us, right, these eggs, you know, that they go and spread the word and then they bring more friends, just like this run, you know? Just how this run grew. It was like, oh, it was cool. Like, I got sunburnt and, you know, I ate pizza for like 2 weeks. But it felt good in our spirits, you know? And, and, you know, it was like, I was laughing because I wasn't going to come. You know, I'm like 40 weeks pregnant. And I was laughing yesterday. I missed all the caravans. And then I called Chief. She's like, yeah, I'm still ready. I was like, well, I guess I better go, you know? So it was like, pollen my little eyed egg. And just like seeing, you know, how none of this is planned, you know. It's just, and you know, Chief didn't have, we were going to do this 1 year. Then we're like, oh no, the Spirit said we need this 4 years. And then when the fourth year came and we got to McLeod, we're like, oh, that was so fun, now it's over. It rained for days. We didn't light the fire. Which meant the ceremony never closed. You know, it's like, oh, gotta pray about that. We didn't light the fire, we didn't dance. Guess it's not done. So we went back into prayer, and here we are, year 7. And we just, and so, you know, we're just praying that just like, you know, we're praying for these salmon to remember, right, to become wild again. Yesterday we were talking about how there's so much that has changed the way that we come into this world, right? Like the way the salmon and the hatcheries get slid open. You know, that's not how it was meant to be. And that's what's happening to our women who are giving birth. You know, we get sliced open. And there's all this violence, and it's reflecting on what our bodies are going through with what the salmon are going through. So. So it's the same thing, you know, and I'm facing a similar, you know, like, oh my God, you know, situation with my baby's screech, and they're like, oh, we gotta cut you off. And I was like, wow, you know, like how can we rewild our, as you know, those of us that bring life, our own birthing story. So you know, you're like, stop talking because I'm hot. So yeah, and then just seeing too now, you know, there's so many kids here. Maya and Nechai are serving food. Diapers. And, you know, I saw Nechai put on in a day. I was like, this is what returning to the right ways feels like, right? We come back and it's hard. It's taxing on us, but we come back because it's in our DNA that this is how we're supposed to live, pray and sing. There's been so many memories, right? Like there's one morning where I woke up and I heard Uncle Gary and Stewie singing by the river, and it just dawned on me. I was like, Creator made things so perfect for us that all we had to do was sing and dance, you know? That's what we were called to keep that balance, and like, so that's what we got to do to like bring back that balance and that memory. And so, yeah, prayers for these fish, and prayers that we bring the eggs from New Zealand. Yeah. Oh, wow. Those eggs that were put here by the Creator, who are waiting for us. You know, they've been speaking to us. They're why we've all have, you know, scars and bruises. Deja got a sunburn that like lasted for 9 months from paddling. So yeah, just so grateful to these salmon wise relatives. You know, and even in science, you know, they've been around 20 million years, how many million years? 200 million. You know, we got some to learn from them. We've only been around 200,000 years. We don't know nothing. So when Chief says follow the salmon, it's like for real. We gotta follow the salmon. So that's why I stand with her and my Winnemong beloved relatives, and for all future generations of all life.
Oh no.
We're gonna go out.
get a drink and go off and think about it. Yeah, all of those kind of, you know, the power and the right.
That was Nidia Alicia speaking about Run for Salmon and the current experience happening with salmon being put back into the river. You're listening to the North State Water Report on 90.1 FM KZFR. So back to Run for Salmon. This prayer has always been about the salmon from the McLeod River that now flourish in the Rakaia River in New Zealand. And this year, as Run for Salmon began its prayer journey along the upper McLeod River, we witnessed fertilized eggs, or eyed eggs, being reintroduced in the river. Salmon have not swam or lived this high above the dam since the dam's construction between 1938 and 1945. Truly an historic event to have them put back, reintroduced back into this river. In this next clip that I'm going to play, it's from a podcast called The Spiritual Edge, A Prayer for the Salmon. And this podcast is being produced by Judy Silber. And in this episode, Chief Colleen Sisks talks about what happened to the Winnemem people when the dam was built.
Any land on the McLeod River. We didn't get anything for everything that was taken. We were displaced and homeless, and our people was in the boarding schools and in the service. And when they came home, they had to have a different kind of life.
I'm Judy Silber from KALW's The Spiritual Edge. A few years ago, I stumbled onto the story of the Winnemem Wintu people. Theirs is an epic tale, and it grabbed hold of me.
By 1910, there were 395 Winnemem people left. And so it's a miracle that we're even here still today. You took all of our land, you pawned it off to other individual private owners, you kept the bulk of it for yourselves, and you have no place for us.
Soon, you'll have a chance to hear the Winnemem Wintu story in a new series from The Spiritual Edge. It's called A Prayer for Salmon, and it centers around their clash with one of California's most important infrastructure sites, Shasta Dam. Shasta Dam played a big role in re-engineering California's water by moving it from north to south, changing the landscape forever.
They take the flow of the San Joaquin, they stop it cold, and they ship it in a canal called the Frying Kern Canal all the way to Bakersfield, 150 miles away. Then what they do is to replace the flow of the San Joaquin River that has been stolen and shipped south, they have to bring in a new flow, and that's the flow from the Sacramento River.
The water has built California's Central Valley into a farming empire. But in addition to the harm it caused the Winnemem Wintu, it decimated salmon populations. Now the Winnemem want to bring them back.
We are the speakers for salmon because they can no longer speak. You can't hear them cry. These salmon, they're the predictors of how healthy our water is in the ocean and in the streams.
They also want to stop a federal project that would raise Shasta Dam even higher, a prospect the Winnemem say could destroy what remains of their culture by flooding important sacred sites.
So we're up against endless money. We're up against people who have endless resources.
My greatest hope is that you will hear the Winnemem story of struggle and resilience, of betrayal and a willingness to still believe in the good things to come, and that it will change you, as it did me. Subscribe on your favorite app, follow us on NPR One, or ask your smart speaker to play the latest from The Spiritual Edge. You won't want to miss it.
Tell me where you think that the water level is going to go up to.
Oh, yeah. All of this will be underwater.
And that was Chief Colleen Sisk talking on the Spiritual Edge episode called A Prayer for the Salmon. And you can hear that podcast in its entirety by subscribing to KALW Spiritual Edge wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you goes out to Judy Sibler for this piece of audio. And I'd like to introduce to our listeners right now, I have a special guest in the studio that just came in. Her name is Jessie Naomi, and Jessie's been a huge part of Run for Salmon over the years, and a dear friend of mine. I think we met because of Run for Salmon, didn't we?
We sure did.
I think it was Allie Metters Knight told me that I needed to get you to perform at a fundraiser that I was holding on year two of Run for Salmon here in Chico. And since then, we've been good friends, and Jessie's been a big force behind Run for Salmon.
Run for Salmon, we call him. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, why don't you give a little introduction to your experience with Run for Salmon, and then we'll get on with some of the other things that I wanted to talk about tonight.
Oh, where to start? Run for Salmon, long down the river we start. Yet for me, that was the introduction to Run for Salmon, was that day in Chico. But I think prior to that, I had seen some things at Chico State. Colleen Sisk was talking about the salmon, and I had been desperately trying to find who my people were from a long time ago. That, you know, those type of things weren't written down. It was oral transitions, and they also didn't want to pass it down in some scenarios. It was kind of hidden.
Yeah, there's complete erasure of many, many of the tribes that aren't recognized in California.
Yes. Yeah, and it's such a political spider web also, getting involved as someone you grow up and you don't know, and you're kind of just looking around and searching. And to me, it's a spiritual journey to find all of your ancestors, you know, and to get to it. So anyways, long story short, I was like, I'm there. You know, and Run for Salmon was there, and met some familiar faces that I'd never met before, if that makes sense. And they're always...
Makes perfect sense to me.
They're always in my dreams. You know, I didn't get to participate this year, and it was really hard for me to not even... But it didn't matter, because, like I said, it's spiritual. So I was there the whole time. And it's beyond time, and it's something that our ancestors are begging us to do, to get up and do something about it, because we couldn't speak for ourselves generations ago. And so I think a lot of my peers are waking up like, it's time to talk about it, you know? And so thanks for inviting me here.
Thanks for coming in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some of your contributions to our Run for Salmon as the show goes on here. I'm going to get back to, you know, what I was talking about here, and how, you know, salmon will be swimming above Shasta Dam for the first time since between 1938 and 1945, when Shasta Dam was built. This past winter, the Winnemem were finally brought into an emergency program as co-managers to restore winter run Chinook, which essentially have become extinct according to the state of California, and the fact that at least the past 2 years, all of the returning winter run Chinook that have spawned have died. They've died pre-spawn. And any of the eggs that they've laid have not been able to be fertilized because of warm water temperatures below the dam. And the winter run Chinook need the cold, cold waters of the high mountain streams and river. So for many years, the Winnemem Wintu have been telling both national and state fish and wildlife agencies, Department of Water Resources, and other agencies that salmon must be restored above the dam to ensure their survival. The health of our watersheds and the health of us humans depends on it. For decades, this little-known, unrecognized tribe has worked tirelessly to preserve their cultural, traditional lifeways, their ceremony, their sacred places, their tribal cultural resources, and now their salmon relatives, all within one of the largest watersheds forming the biggest reservoir in the state of California. Please visit indiancultural.org to see how you can support the Winnemem people in all of these efforts. But even with this new co-management program, modern science does not consider traditional ecological knowledge Native peoples hold as valid, but they're learning. The next recording I'm going to play for you, you'll hear, are, again, they're from Adena, the day that Fish and Wildlife biologists brought up eyed eggs. They brought eyed eggs to the spot, the place called Adena. And I don't think they realized what they were going to be coming into when they came out to Adena this year with the eggs. I think they knew that Colleen would be there with some of the Winnemem, but I don't think they realized that there was going to be 40 to 50 people. All participants have run for salmon. There was a dance arbor built. Winnemem warriors and dancers were in full regalia, ready for ceremony to pray over these eggs. And when they arrived, I think there was a little bit of shock. And I have a couple of clips of Colleen talking as they were taking the eggs out of the truck. A little funny side note to all of this. After months of trying to figure out how they were going to get the eggs down to this spot on the river, because it's a super steep, really bumpy, worn out gravel road going down to this spot on the river, and you essentially need the clearance of a four wheel drive vehicle to get down there, and it's extremely slow driving and very bumpy, and Colleen was insistent that it because there is a helicopter landing spot just above where the campsites are at this spot on the river. One is for Cal Fire to be able to get in there in case of forest fire, wildfires. And the other is because Adena, which I mentioned was a traditional fishing village for the Winnemem for centuries, is now pretty much a bougie fishing camp for people that can spend the amount of money to be brought in by helicopter and have a fishing guide with them to go fly fishing along the McLeod River in that area, which is now stocked with trophy-sized German brown trout and non-native rainbow trout and everything. Colleen was insistent that they bring these eggs in by helicopter rather than drive them down that bumpy road and get all jostled around, because they're fertilized eyed eggs. But Cal Fish and Wildlife insisted that they have this method of transporting the eggs, even on a bumpy road like that, that'll ensure that they don't get too jostled around. So as they pulled in, we're all around, the guy opens the door and he pulls out one of those orange igloo water coolers, you know, with the little spigot on it, takes it out of the truck, puts it on the ground, and that's how they transported the eggs down. That was their method, their scientific method to not jostle the eggs was in an igloo cooler. They were in a silk sack inside the igloo cooler. So it was pretty funny. I'm going to now try to pull up a couple of these clips here so you can listen to Colleen talking to some of these NOAA fisheries people.
Worked with us for 7.5 years. Don't realize the traditions that we carry, mm-hmm. the spiritual beliefs that we have in place that guide what we're doing. The whole thing about salmon comes from a prayer. This journey comes from that belief that someday we'll have our fish back on this river. It isn't drumming up a proposal and saying, oh yeah, wouldn't that be nice? This is seated in every little person that's here, that this is what we're working on. And so that changes discussions maybe that you have experience with other tribes in those discussions, but because we have not lost our information about what we're doing and how science has shortfalled their existence by, you know, being the controllers of every part of their life, from the eggs to the hatch to the feed to the release to the catch, you know, and it has not worked. It's not working. Mm-hmm. And the fish farms are should all be shut down, and the hatcheries need to be changed, you know.
And that was Colleen Sisk speaking to some of the NOAA fisheries people that were present when the eggs were delivered and they were getting ready to put them in the incubator. And here's another short clip of that conversation.
And we still have a lot of work to do because, you know, nothing's been done about the predators that are in this river right now. And it's like, there could be enough German browns in there to swallow up half the eggs that come out of there. You know, they swim out and they're going to be snacked.
We're going to learn. We're going to learn so much. And yes. Yeah.
Ditto.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I want it to be a full-on success, but even if we just learn what happens with the predators, that's something for us to know for the next time.
Yeah.
So hopefully every time we'll get a little bit better. Hopeful.
Well, maybe you'll believe us next time. You'll believe about the predators. So it's like we're telling you already. But you have to see it scientifically and do it that way, which always takes a lot longer. Yep.
And that was Colleen Sisk again talking about you know, the placement of these salmon up in the upper McLeod River and all of the things that needed to be taken into consideration before doing that, and how, you know, all of their scientific knowledge and college education tells them that the Winnemem might not be right when they tell them about, you know, you're going to have all these predators you haven't accounted for. And they seem to think that they have to learn that rather than just listen when Colleen says that you're going to have to address that. There's, oh, well, I guess we'll find out kind of thing. As Run for Salmon journey down the McLeod River to another traditional ceremonial site that is now a Forest Service campground at the McLeod River Bridge on Gilman Road, I couldn't help but notice this area of the river that used to be part of the McLeod and Pitt River finger of the reservoir hasn't flooded and reached its high water mark in many years. So many years that there is now willow almost 10 feet tall, and other native riparian vegetation growing back. Just in time for salmon's return to the upper waters of the river, so is the willow and critical riparian vegetation returning. We pray that they may never again be able to flood and reach the high water of that part of the reservoir again. Next, I want to play a clip from Desiree Harp talking about Run for Salmon and other connected watersheds. Desiree is one of Run for Salmon's main organizers, as well as an amazingly talented singer, songwriter, spoken word poet, and an old friend of Jesse's, who I think might have just a little funny story she might want to tell about that relationship.
Yeah, I was going to say, can't leave out Desiree for the first part of my experience with Run for Salmon. Because we met in college back in the day in a JC area. But what I really wanted to bring up was what we just listened to and how our indigenous families and our relatives that have been pass down these stories and quite possibly not have talked about it publicly. And now it's coming to the surface. It's something so important for us to realize that there's systematic... It's almost, I don't want to say racism, but it's kind of systematic. It's like along the same lines as systematic racism, because in our school systems, we are not told the history of the unwritten word and who writes these books of our science and the things that are like okay to fund because the river has the science to back it up. Well, what about the people that have lived there for generations? Our bones remember these places. Our grandmothers fed and took care of these places. And so it's fascinating to me that we have, you know, a tribe so close, and many tribes are out here doing this, speaking for these creatures who need us. And Desiree was singing at the waterfront. I don't even know, some clip I saw, and I was like, I know that girl. And we used to talk about how we're native, but we just don't know where we come from, really, you know? And so anyways, back to the science, I just want to repeat how important it is to really tap into these indigenous communities who have this innate wisdom, and we got to work together at the same table.
Absolutely. Let's see. Let me try to find this clip here of Desi talking about Run for Salmon, and another aspect of Run for Salmon that I am going to, me and Jesse are going to have a good talk about after this segment.
From Mount Shasta all the way down to the bay, and we are praying for the water, but we're also praying for our salmon to come home. And we've been working with government agencies to make this happen, and so over the years Chief Colleen Sisk of the Winnemem Wintu people has been trying to get the government to see her as an equal, to see traditional ecological knowledge of the indigenous people as equal to Western science. And so this year they allowed her to be a co-manager of this project, and we were able to release baby salmon above the dam. And the goal is for us to build a swimway around the dam and for us to reintroduce the wild salmon to these waters, because the hatchery fish are not the same. Our whales are dying, and the reason why our whales are dying is because the hatchery fish do not have the nutrients to feed them, and they also can't swim far down south where the orcas are starving. And so at the end of this Run for Salmon prayer journey, we have a ceremony by the ocean, and it's a ceremony to pray for the whales, and that's going to be in Miwok Ceremony at Muir Beach on July 31st. But we're also showing how our watersheds are connected, because what people don't understand is that our water is actually being diverted from our watersheds and then put into the Sacramento River watershed and then shipped down south for all those people down there to use that water. But what happens when our waters run dry? And so that's what we're trying to raise awareness about. And so we're going to be doing a connecting prayer out this year for the first time. Run for Salmon has been happening for 7 years, but this is the first year we're doing our connecting prayer out. And we're going to be starting at Anderson Marsh to show where Cache Creek starts, right there where Clear Lake and Anderson Marsh are. That's where Cache Creek starts. So we're going to lay down prayers at Cache Creek, showing how Cache Creek is connected to the Sacramento River watershed. And then we're going to be biking all the way up to Lake Berryessa, where from there we're going to lay down prayers at Puthe Creek to show how Puthe Creek is also connected to the Sacramento River watershed. So anyways, that's what we're going to be doing. And on the 24th, which is tomorrow, tomorrow night, Mayor's group and, you know, all of our family, they're going to be coming out there dancing. And we're going to be dancing along those waterways, because it's super important for, you know, those prayers to be heard out there, too. You all are invited to come. You know, whoever wants to come, you're more than welcome to come and lay down prayers by the water with us. And that's going to be tomorrow night over by Lake Berryessa. And if you want more details, you can come up to me and ask me. Oh.
And again, that was Desiree Hart talking about Run for Salmon, and you're listening to the North State Water Report on 90.1 FM Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The North State Water Report is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com, and by Mountain Sports. For over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 5:30 p.m., and 11 to 4 on Sundays at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. And let's get back to the report. And we're talking about Run for Salmon. And one thing Run for Salmon has been doing over the years now is connecting all the different watersheds that are being drawn from to supply water for agriculture in Southern California. Since the third year of Run for Salmon, I think it was the third or second year of Run for Salmon, Hoopa, Yurok, and Wintu relatives have been praying along the Trinity, connecting the dams at Whiskeytown Reservoir to the water project at Shasta Dam. And one of the reasons why I asked Jesse Naomi to come in tonight is because Jesse was the instigator of that connecting route. And I'm going to let her explain why that became really important to her to pray along those watersheds and connect that water project, those dams, the Whiskeytown Reservoir, with the Shasta Dam and the Shasta Reservoir and what's happening with our water.
Yeah, it was a third year when it actually came to fruition. And I mean, the reason it's important is like when you see or feel someone suffering the way you've suffered, you have a little bit more reason to move. You know, not you have to teach people, and people have to understand something in order to love it. You know, that's I always go back to that. People have to understand anything to love it. And so it, when it comes to the Trinity, Chiti, Namdapam, Waket, these are places that I recognize since I was a young kid. I've been driving up there since I could drive. I don't know. I didn't know why, but I was driving there constantly. And come to find out, my great-great-grandparents are buried there. My relative, Waladaka, is from, well, she's from Chimerico, but she also was part of Hoopa tribe. So these rivers are all connected. You know, it's like
All those tribes were connected through marriages and things, too, because I know when we were over in Clear Lake, you know, Gary Thomas, like I said, he's affectionately known as Uncle Gary by everyone on Run for Salmon. He's Pomo, and we started that prayer connect at Anderson Marsh, yes. which is symbolic in a sense that is one of the main places that Cache Creek flows through, mm-hmm. and where a lot of the water that flows through Cache Creek mm-hmm. comes from that marsh, which is a drainage marsh from all of the surrounding mountains, and Clear Lake isn't too far away. Mm-hmm. And on all of those mountains and surrounding that marsh were Pomo people mm-hmm. and Wapo Nisati people mm-hmm. and Miwok, and they all shared the resources, the tribal resources within that watershed. You know, they all went in for medicines and for fish and hunting and yes. ceremony.
So we share that. You know, that's the point. It was like we share that. You may not have met this human, but you know that you know each other. And that's where the languages, you know, they intertwine. We have Pomo language is very close to Chimerico. And so I feel like I've known Uncle Gary forever when he sings, because those are my bones too. And so, you know, it was like we have to run the Trinity. I know that I just met my tribe, my uncle, I call him, although he's a cousin, he's in his, you know, he's an elder, so I call him my uncle. But He's the chairman of Narelmuk, and I met him because the Winnemem helped me find that tribe, you know. And the waters, they need help. They don't need to be dammed. It's ready for a heart attack. That's looking for a heart attack. Those are the veins to our earth, you know. You know, when Kathleen was talking about putting these fish up, you know, here, and talking about all the critters that could eat them, and it's a parallel of how we take care of ourselves and how we take care of our planet, because there's a relationship. And if one of them is out of balance, something's going to fall. And so the rivers are the womb to these animals. They don't stay in a womb of the mother fish. They are laid into the water, which is the womb of their future. And so I was just like, we got to run, because running is a prayer. It's powerful.
And what does connect the Trinity with the Sacramento River, and specifically Shasta Dam and that whole water project?
It also connects up by Hoopa, which peck is Klamath, right? So I'm pretty sure, don't mark my words, but I'm pretty sure Trinity is a tributary, but it could be opposite because I get dyslexic. But it's they're all connected right up there, and I think they are that whiskey reservoir is where we're having troubles.
Yeah, it's where they dam up the Trinity and take water out of Whiskey
yes.
Town and pump it all the way over to the Sacramento, because those two rivers don't flow together. They don't flow into each
they
other.
They do go into the Sacramento, those big tubes
yeah.
up the hill? Okay.
So they're taking
yeah.
water from the Trinity, which is not a tributary of the Sacramento River.
No.
It's not part of the Sacramento River Valley.
It is now.
It is now because they take water from it and put it into the Sacramento River
right.
via
yeah.
the Whiskey Town Reservoir to add more water to the Sacramento River that can therefore be diverted for agriculture
yes.
Through canals or through the pumps at the Delta.
It's essentially, it's slavery, people.
And, like, and it's
profit.
It's they're stealing.
Water is
they're stealing.
For...
They're stealing water. They're stealing water.
So there's my two cents on my take on it. I have so many relatives and friends. You know, I call them relatives. They are my sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles who I met through the run. And they each have such a potent story now, you know, through doing this prayer journey. And I couldn't see it going any other way. But, I mean, Kathleen said herself that we're lighting fires. The fires are being lit, like you were just telling that story. It's true, and people have a hard time to, like, what platform do we have to stand on? So we just run and we pray. You don't need a platform. You just go to the river at any time, because water amplifies anything that you're thinking or you're saying. And so it's the spirit within you that's going to carry us to have healthy rivers again.
I believe that, and I've been experiencing that all these 7 years on Run for Salmon, and everything that we've been praying for as far as fish being, you know, salmon once again being up above the dam in the upper McLeod River, it's happening.
It's
happening. So I see that as an answer to this prayer and Run for Salmon actually working.
Oh.
And, you know, along with, you know, how Jesse connected the waters between the Trinity River and the Shasta Dam Water Project. This year, Pomo and Wapo Onasati people, who was Gary Thomas and his son, Gerald Thomas, who is also known as Stewie G, the famous Pomo rapper, and Desiree Hart.
And Sheridan Noelani
Enomoto. They decided that it was time to connect Cache Creek and Poudre Creek watersheds with this Run for Salmon, because at one time, Cache Creek flowed into the Sacramento River. It was one of the major tributaries. It was an 87-mile-long tributary of the Sacramento River. And at this point, it's dammed up. and it forms the Indian Valley Reservoir, as well as a lot of it is diverted into a series of irrigation canals, and it only reaches the Sacramento River through a flood control canal. Mm. And the same with Poudre Creek. Poudre Creek used to flow into the delta with the Sacramento River. And into that whole delta region that starts around Sacramento and goes out to the bay. But Poudre Creek now is one of the most altered watersheds in Northern California. It's first dammed at Berryessa, forming the reservoir known as Lake Berryessa, and then again near Solano, forming a smaller reservoir known as Lake Solano. And at that smaller dam, at the Solano Reservoir, is a massive diversion canal that takes most of the water from Poudre Creek and sends it south for irrigation. Poudre Creek is a salmon creek, and it has dwindling numbers. The salmon have been struggling every year to get up into the creek because of that diversion. The water is very low below that diversion or below Lake Solano. And they've been struggling. It's just like the salmon here in our own Butte Creek here in Butte County, mm-hmm. where once you get off the river and to the Butte, what's known as the Butte Sink, the water from Butte Creek is diverted all over the place into all these different canals, and there's a bunch of weirs, all the old sloughs, because the Butte Creek used to just fan out. It would come down and it fanned out into all of these sloughs that just flowed into the Sacramento River. So the salmon had many ways of getting into the main body of the creek. They could come up all these different sloughs and it would help them protect themselves from predators and give them more food as they made their way up into the creek. And at the sink area, They all those sloughs used to join the main body of the creek, and then they could swim up to the higher waters of the creek. Well, now that Butte Sink, all of that water is diverted. So when the salmon swim up, they end up in someone's irrigation canal, or they get trapped by debris flows that never get cleaned up, and a lot of them don't make it, if you look at last year, take last year as an example. There was a record number. There was by some counts, up to 20,000 salmon that made it up to the cool water pools of Butte Creek. And those are primarily native fish. It's considered the only native salmon run left in the state of California. But how many of those didn't make it because of what happens at the Butte Sink? Because this year, hundreds of them were found dead at the Butte Sink because they couldn't get through. And I was talking to Alan Hawthorne just about a month and a half ago, and he said there's about 10 to 12,000 salmon up in the pools. Mm-hmm. So, there should have been hundreds more had they been able to get through that Butte Sink area. Mm-hmm. And then last year, I don't know what's going on this year. I haven't really checked into it. But last year, out of those nearly 20,000 fish that were up in those cold water pools, 90% or more died pre-spawn because of warm water, mm-hmm. which is due to the Desablo. They have to divert water from the west branch of the Feather River into the Desablo Reservoir and then release water from there into Butte Creek, mainly for irrigation diversions down below, but it also helps keep the water cold enough for the salmon to oversummer in Butte Creek, because the water in Butte Creek doesn't stay cold enough anymore. So because PG&E made that diversion too late last year, nearly 90% or more of those fish of that record run died pre-spawn because the water got too warm for them all summer long. So that's what we have going on, and that is a direct result of mismanagement, manipulating the hydrological cycles of this region by diverting and damming, and the salmon are suffering. And first off, the first sufferers of all of this were the native people. The native people of this region, when they started damming these rivers and flooding places like the Sacramento up above Redding, when the McLeod River and the Pitt River and the Sacramento River all flooded to form Shasta Lake, they call it, the reservoir. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of Wintu people lost land, lost villages, lost homesteads. They were not warned it was going to happen. There was no compensation for land loss, for water rights loss, nothing. They had nothing. They were left nothing. And they suffered first. And then along with that, the salmon suffered. And, you know, eventually we're all going to suffer because of all this mismanagement. Mm-hmm. And that's why some of us run for salmon. and more of us are participating. You know, as Run for Salmon has grown in connecting other watersheds, it's also grown in the participation of other tribes connected to the salmon and the watersheds that feed the Greater Sacramento River and water, the Greater Sacramento River watershed and valley. This year, Machupta Mighty Youth paddled with us into their traditional territory known as Chico and fed us at our camp just off the river at the Grub CSA farm owned by Lee and Franny. And you can visit Lee and Franny anytime, every Saturday, downtown Farmers Market in Chico. They have some of the best produce around. Please go support Lee and Franny at the Grub CSA farm. They've been a huge supporter of Run for Salmon over the years. Run for Salmon was also joined by the Shingle Springs Band of Miwok on the Feather River Confluence, where they paddled with us for 2 days between Knight's Landing and Verona. And then they paddled with us from Verona all the way into Discovery Park. They let us camp on their land in Verona, which is right at the confluence. They now own the Verona Marina there. The Shingle Springs Miwok own that marina now. And they celebrated with us, they fed us, and they paddled and prayed with us. And they paddled with us all the way into Discovery Park in Sacramento, where the Wilton Rancheria welcomed us into their territory. And they celebrated with us with a feast. There was also Coast Miwok, Ohlone, Pomo people, Wapo, Onasati. Like Jesse said, there's Nomalaki, Yurok people. The Hoopa people provided salmon for us because, you know, on the Trinity, they still get some salmon. Mm-hmm. They still, in some years, they have really big salmon harvests. And the Hoopa relatives to the Winnemem provided salmon twice for us this year during the run. So we had two big salmon feasts. Yeah. One at Adena, with the celebration of the eggs being put back in the river, and then at the closing ceremony at Muir Beach, and all of that salmon was cooked over a traditional fire on the cedar planks, and
even then, the salmon that was got, I mean, this is hearsay, but they still have to travel to find those places, the Hoopa, they have to go not probably to their traditional place anymore, because it's all dammed up. So
they don't have nearly the fish they used to. The water gets warm, and they have a lot of fish die off, just like the rest of these waterways. But with all of this growing participation with Run for Salmon, it makes me recall something that I heard Chief Colleen Sis talking about one time, and I really wish I had an audio file of this talk she was giving. But she was talking about how traditionally all the tribes along these rivers and creeks of this region that had salmon, how all those people had prayers and ceremony for the salmon, how they'd all dance, light fires along the water to welcome the salmon home as they returned from the ocean. All those fires lit would mirror the constellations in the night sky as the salmon swam by starlight. Metaphorically, today, all these tribes joining Run for Salmon is a lighting of those fires once again. That's what we're seeing. And I honestly see a shift happening that the best attempts